Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It is Monday and we are starting a new topic this week. We are discussing love. That's right, the word love. What does it mean? Before I get into the definition of love, let me just say this. We have to probably get out of our minds the humanistic or maybe even the Christian concept of love. Love isn't based on false standards of morality, and neither is it just a gushy feeling. It is not wishy-washy. Love is always guided by truth, and it's also a fruit of God's Spirit. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 says this, "And this I am praying, that your love may be superabounding still more and more in realization and all sensibility." Love is always connected with light, truth, and the truth of the correctly cut scriptures, might I add. So in other words, we cannot have proper love or proper behavior of any kind unless we have proper teaching. Correctly cut scriptures is the key to correct living, as it were. In the book of Titus, the Apostle Paul says that the saving grace of God made its advent to all humanity, training us to live devoutly. But we need the saving grace of God. We have to understand the saving grace of God, the teaching of the Apostle Paul, so we can be properly trained into correct deportment. So let's keep that in mind. So we're discussing love in the scriptures here this week. Now, let me give you the definition of love, and this is from the Greek-English Keyword Concordance, page 186. And it says this, "Love is a complex emotion arousing appreciation or delight in and desire for the presence of its object, as well as to please and promote its welfare. It's to be distinguished from affection or fondness, which is aroused by the qualities of its object, while love may go out to the utterly unworthy." And there is a text. I should probably turn down my phone there. Okay. So let me repeat this definition again, and I'm going to comment on it as we go. First of all, it says that love is a complex emotion arousing appreciation or delight in and desire for the presence of its object. So love loves to be in the presence of the object of its love. And it looks also to please and promote its welfare. Love delights in the presence of the object of its love, as well as to promote its welfare. So love wants to be with that person and wants the best for that person. And again, it's to be distinguished from affection or fondness, which is aroused by the qualities of its object. So in other words, fondness is like common friendships today. People are friends because they have lots in common. In other words, well, this person likes this kind of music, so they like them. In other words, there's something about that person that's like them personally, and because they have the same tastes, they become friends. But love looks beyond that and looks to the person itself. It's not so much interested in the qualities of its object. Love can go out to the utterly unworthy. And what's interesting is you will find, like for instance, in the Philippian church, the Philippians church was founded by three completely different characters. You have the woman, Lydia, who Paul met at the river, who was basically a merchant woman. Then you had the Philippian jailer, a rough, tough, and gruff jailer. And then you had that woman who was possessed by a demon that Paul cast out the demon of. Think about those three characters in the Philippian church, how different they were with different backgrounds. But because of God and Christ, because of the grace message, they were united in affection for one another. Just read Philippians and you'll see that. And it had nothing to do with the fact that they had something in common personally or the same taste. No, they were three completely different people. It was love that went out to somebody that was unconditional, and it brought love to one another. So this is such an amazing word, love. Paul says love is never lapsing in 1 Corinthians 13. That means love never quits. It always desires the presence of its object. Love doesn't want to selfishly hide and isolate itself from others. That's pretty bad. Love isn't really like a monkery. We're not monks. Love always promotes the welfare of others. actively. And that's why Paul calls love the greatest of all graces. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "Yet now are remaining faith, expectation, love, these three. Yet the greatest of these is love." Now, the scriptures also say God is love. Now, that means God never quits loving. He loves all humanity. He sent his Son to save all humanity, and he's going to save all humanity. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the image of the invisible God. That means he is the visible representation of God. So everything we want to know about God, we see displayed in his Son. So when we see Christ lay down his life, when we see him hanging on that cross for our sins, when we see him laid in that tomb, when we see him rising from among the dead, we see God's love on display. God's love is being commended to us, seeing that while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes. Now, the Apostle Paul had this prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 3, the Apostle Paul said this, "Now may the Lord cause you to increase and superabound in love for one another and for all." Now notice what Paul says here. He prays that the Lord Jesus, God's image, would cause us to increase and superabound in love. Not just love, but increase and superabound in love. For who? For all. No one is left out. Since Christ died for all, we love all for whom Christ died. No wonder the Apostle Paul says, be pursuing love. Love always has an object in view. It is always looking to lavish its benefits on someone. It imitates God, the source of love. Well, this is just introductory. Tomorrow we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, that love passage. We're going to look at its context, first of all. Why did Paul put it in the place he put it in 1 Corinthians 13? This is a very important thing. So we're going to go through 1 Corinthians 13 the rest of this week and see how love is on display, where we see love is patient and is kind and so forth. And the rest of that chapter, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13 this week in its context and discover what love means, love that comes from God. Well, that's all I have time for today. It is Monday. Just a reminder, on Friday is the conference in New York. It begins this Friday in Rochester. I hope to see you there. Also, the following week, on the 18th and 19th of May, we're going to be in Birmingham, Alabama for a conference there. And also, I just got word there's another conference coming in September in the Carolinas. Tomorrow, I will give you the details on that conference. But coming this September, and is going to be on the 14th and 15th of September, we're going to be in the Carolinas for a concert, for a meeting there. It is going to be again on September 14th and 15th in the Carolinas, the details coming tomorrow. This is Dan Sheridan. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God as he's revealed in the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.